Yo, 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 yo. What up, what up? It's Justin. It is not cut right. You are not watching Making the Cut. If you are here for Making the Cut, we will be back next week. But you should stick around because we're doing an interview today with Emmanuel, aka The Truth, and producer Mark Mims, and we're talking about their new film, Bad Things Happen in Philadelphia. We're about to go live with both of them right now. What's up, everybody? If you haven't heard of Bad Things Happen in Philadelphia, it is an awesome documentary that covers the gun and gang violence that is happening in Philly. The movie is executive produced by Allen Iverson. There is a CHH heavy soundtrack that was made for this film, and Emmanuel, aka The Truth, kind of orchestrated the whole thing. So we're going to go live with them. Let's see if they're in here. Let's see. If you're just tuning in, going live with The Truth, aka Emmanuel, and Mark Mims. So let me just invite them to the chat. All right, just waiting for them to join. Oh, I see Truth. He's in here. All right, here we go. Going live. Yo, what's good, Jay Blev? Truth, it says you're unable to join. All right, let's see. Here we go. We'll try again. We're talking about the project Bad Things Happen in Philadelphia. All right, here we go. What up, what up?
What's up, what's up?
How you doing?
Fantastic, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad we were able to reschedule this. We're just, we got to wait for Mark to get in here.
He should be coming soon.
Let me see. He's texting me right now. Okay. All right. So are you, for the purposes of this interview, are you The Truth or are you Emmanuel?
You can just say Emmanuel, FKA The Truth.
You're just giving me more stuff to say.
I'm so sorry.
All right. Mark says I have to invite him, but I think I did. So let me try again. One. All right, let's see.
Kobe is CHH. I love it. I'm flattered.
There we go. What's up?
Hey, there we go.
Yeah.
What's up, fellas?
I think I invited you guys both before you were in here, so maybe it didn't stick. All right.
We're here, bro.
All right, we live. We're doing this.
We live.
Go. I wish
What's
you
guys, Rapzilla family.
Yeah, I wish
friends.
I wish you guys were bigger and I was smaller because I'm just asking the questions, but all right. So everybody tuning in right now, we have Emmanuel, formerly known as The Truth. We have producer Mark Mims, and they just got together on a project called Bad Things Happen in Philadelphia. It is a documentary that talks about the gun violence in Philly, the gang violence, and what Gary Mills of Shoot Basketballs Not People is doing. And you guys also put together a soundtrack that is heavy with CHH artists and actually former CHH artists on it as well. So that's super dope. So guys, we want to talk about this movie. We want to talk about how we can support it. We want to talk about how this all came together. So I guess the first question would be to Mark. Could you speak on how you got involved in the film and then guide it into how Emmanuel got involved? And then he can pick it up from there.
I mean, backstory is, I've been working with Truth for A long time.
10 years
Yeah,
maybe?
10 foot, something like that. But no, I got the documentary came across me from my desk from a good friend of mine, Edith Rodriguez. I was working at a film studio at the time. We were making pretty big box office films, right? But we kind of noticed early on is that like these stories of what's going on in the country, what's going on in Philadelphia specifically, these type of films weren't getting made and weren't getting financed. And so Kyra Knox, who's the director, who is phenomenal, by the way, like incredible, by the way.
She's in here, by the way. What's up,
Is she
Kyra?
here? Yeah, tell her.
Yeah, she here. What's up?
Yeah, she created a phenomenal sizzle reel, and it came across my desk, and I reached out to her. I didn't know her at all, right? I didn't know her from our stories. We know her from Can of Paint, and reached out and said, "Hey, look, like I love this project. Like, let me, a music guy, get behind you and kind of help you kind of bring this to life." And so we started working on this. I mean, we've been at it for over 2 years, Justin. And so, and her and her team are phenomenal. They tell such a beautiful story of some of the harsh conditions in Philadelphia, but they do it in such a meaningful way, right? Like, you've seen documentaries before that are like only showing you the gloom, right? But she, I mean, they paint such a beautiful picture of the city of Philadelphia and don't reduce it just to the statistics. And so we were working on the film. I talked the truth about it when I first came across the desk. I was like, "Hey, look, I think I want to make a soundtrack for this. I think I want to kind of make a score for this." We've been talking about kind of diving into this space for a long time. And I sent him the sizzle reel. I sent him the information. And the rest was history. We started working right away. So,
Yeah, was the project completely done when it came across your desk, or it was just kind of, well, you said it was a sizzle reel, so it was more just like a trailer of what it could be. Like, how long in the process was it?
yeah. So, I mean, it was a week's worth of shooting. It was a week's worth done. So, I'd say, I think Kyra would tell you it's about almost halfway there, right? Like, Kyra and her team. I mean, listen, like being in film for the last few years. What they were able to pull off just in community by themselves is just phenomenal. And so when I came up, they were about 50% completed. And that's when we stepped in and kind of just started working on the score and the rest of the film and soundtrack.
All right, so now Emmanuel, how did it come across your desk, and how did you jump on and become involved?
Well, first of all, as Mark mentioned, he and I have been in partnership for a very, very long time. And kind of the nature of the relationship is whenever opportunities arise, we're volleying,
Boy.
you know what I mean? And and it's in a situation like this, and the good thing is that the talent is there, so it's not like we're just giving each other stuff to do and there's no but I was really excited when he called me about this because I've been in an A&R space probably for the past 3 years, heavily. I just been really quiet about it. And but Mark knew that I've been functioning in that capacity and shaping albums and providing vision and direction sonically and musically to various projects. And so this though was for me the biggest over the past 3 years, and the most exciting because of the complexity of it. There's a lot of complexity because when you're working on a score, particularly the soundtrack is one thing and the score is another. And the score, the music has to become a character in and of itself. And then the music has to be re reflective and representative of each of the characters that are in the actual film. And so the time that it takes to kind of find sounds that are complementary to the each of the key characters in the film was a task, but it was exciting and it was fun, and we landed, we got there. And for the soundtrack, it was really exciting. And the soundtrack includes myself, Beam, who does a lot of work with Beyonce and many others, Jill Scott, Adam Blackstone. So it's chock full. And to your point, some CHH artists and some who are former CHH artists. For the soundtrack, we just wanted voices and brands really that were consistent with the positive messaging of the film, because the film is really it's heightening people's awareness to gun violence in Philly, which people know that I'm from Philly, but at the same time is offering an alternative. Shout out to Gary Mills, for providing an alternative space You know what I'm saying? And so the soundtrack, we just wanted the soundtrack to really, we just, that's what we wanted, for the soundtrack to serve as the soundtrack for this film, so that when people, if you didn't see the film, the soundtrack would get you excited about it. So.
Yeah. And I think Mark, we might've spoke about this a little bit too. There's this national like topic that D1 sort of sparked. And this has always been like an actual topic, but D1 kind of said it in a way that made people take notice. So from both of your experiences, can you talk about maybe the, I guess the role, the messaging of music has to do in within communities, especially, yeah. I guess specifically for this project, we're talking about Philly. Like how does music that might be for the streets and everything impact the people who are actually in these communities?
Yeah, I just saw D1 do that interview. You mind me taking this one, Mark?
Go for it.
I just saw D1 do that pivot interview, which was really powerful when he cried.
Yeah.
And asked him why he was crying. And one of the things that he said was that he was a victim, you know, of what he would say was murder music, that, yeah, you know, he was almost murdered. And I think oftentimes people underestimate the power of music. You know, there's a disconnect, you know, and we don't really make a correlation or draw a line from a Meek Mill to a, you know, you're just your average young dude that's kind of grown up, you know, in the inner city, and how a Meek Mill's, you know, how Meek Mill might shape the way that he sees the world, you know. I think we underestimate the power of music. It's interesting because music, I was watching Stranger Things today, but this is not the only place where I've discovered this, but music, there was a scene in the show where she had to listen to music in order to kind of get out of the upside down. Yep. And one of the points that they made was that music has the ability to transcend the frontal cortex, which is essentially just that executive space in your brain that processes information, you know, knowledge, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it kind of transcends that and it moves into the realm of imagination. And which, you know, once you get into the world of imagination, you know how broad that can be. And so I think so many of us really just underestimate the power and the influence of music. And so I think what D1 is saying is critical. And I think he's also saying that it's important that there's congruence, because you can have an artist that, you know, in their music, you know, on one song represents positivity, and on the very next song does the opposite. I think that's what he's fighting against, the contradictory nature of a lot of the music that's out there. And I think that's what we wanted to do on this soundtrack. We just wanted there to be consistency. We wanted there to be congruence. That's why I said the people, not just what they talked about, but the artists themselves and their brand was actually important for the soundtrack as well. We wanted consistency across the board, so.
Yeah, because you want people to represent in their life.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's interesting you said that about Stranger Things, because obviously you're talking about running up that hill. Speaking of the power of music, though, that song is 40 years old, and it's a bigger hit now than it was back then. And it's because somebody saw that in a scene, and it conveyed something powerful.
There you go.
I'll
add that I think that when you watch this film, right, like really pay attention to the score, because I think that what Greg Cox did on a lot of these scenes, it immerses you into the world of Philadelphia. It immerses you in a beautiful way, right?
Yes.
But like you said, the power of music, to Manny's point, that's why, you know, I really trusted Manny to kind of like put this together, right? Because he grew up in Philadelphia. He saw both sides of it. In fact,
on one of the scenes, grew up in the inner city.
There you go, right? So in other words, exactly. So it's important to kind of have a person who lived in the city, who lives in Philadelphia, or a Philadelphia native, to really kind of help shape what the sound of the soundtrack is.
Let me ask you this. What kind of impact do you think, like, a mainstream artist who makes that murder music or bad message music, if they just turned around and actually said, hey, I'm going to just make positive music now and put it back into the community. More than the actual action, I know the joke was like more than giving out turkeys, but actually putting the music out that edifies people too. Like people like yourself and other Christian artists, you guys always have this good message. So maybe it's not gonna hit people who are already expecting that message from you.
Yeah.
But if just came out and was like, yo, this is, I'm invested in that community. Like, what kind of impact do you think that would have?
Yo, let me take this one first, Manny?
Yeah, please.
This is gonna sound like a hot take. I don't have a problem with art reflecting your environment, right? So long as you're making it aware. You know what I mean? Like I was watching the D1 discourse, right? And
yeah.
And I think what we're really talking about here is like accountability. You know what I'm saying? Like in other words, like naming like the negative effects of your music. You know what I mean? So I don't know necessarily that it would have a positive impact in community, right? We don't know that. Like, you know how it's received. It's a whole different conversation for like the music industry as a whole is piping out certain music. So them turning around and kind of just making positive music may not be effective. But yeah, like, I mean, there's so many phenomenal artists who don't identify as Christian artists who are making great music that I can't resonate with, right? But I don't know necessarily it would be an easy flip of the switch if it would impact at all. I mean, that they need to be making music, but being aware of what they're doing. But go ahead, Truth, what were you gonna say?
No, I think that's a great point. You know, well, it's just what you're pointing out is, you know, the fact that, you know, it's not always a one-to-one. And, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. That's when you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, it's like, man, the rich and the poor die just the same. The righteous and the wicked die just the same. You know, it's kind of like you would think that the righteous had a better deal than the wicked in terms of, but they don't, you know? So there's no way to really quantify that. However, I do think that, it's interesting that when a person turns over a new leaf, oftentimes they fade to black. They're no longer as influential as they once were. So yeah. I think that that's always an interesting dynamic. So, and that's to Mark's point, you really just never know how things will turn out just because people loved them for what they were doing that was on the other side. And so the moment that they repent, so to speak, and go in the opposite direction, people are like, I don't want to hear a positive view. It's almost like, you know, there's certain like comedians or whatever that, you know, they turned over a new leaf because maybe they came to faith or something like that. And I don't like them no more. I like the bad version of them better.
Honest about that, by the way. I appreciate that.
But I'm just being honest. So I'm saying that to say that I think in some instances it could have an extremely powerful impact. While in other cases, you just never know what the results will be because people may actually turn away from them because they're not doing what they like them for to begin with. So it's interesting.
Yeah, people might find it like disingenuous. Like,
yeah, they can find it disingenuous or they could just not like this version of them, the new version of them, you know?
That I always remember the conversations after Eminem disappeared for 4 years to get healthy off of drugs. And now he's
people didn't like that.
He was told when he was on drugs.
We liked you better on drugs.
like your music was better while drugs.
Oh God, like, that's terrible.
Human
nature is complex, bro.
To exactly what you're saying. So I feel like with Christian artists kind of and Christians in the space beginning to saturate mainstream spaces, right? Whether it's sync licensing, scoring and curation, even creating films. So how far has everything come since like you guys were on the come up making music?
Sheesh. Like,
we're
coming a long way. And I think, you know, I'm grateful for people like Mark Mims and Kyra and Gary trusting us with this project. And I say us, I mean, Greg Cox and I. I'm grateful for, you know, them having the vision, you know, and the foresight to bring, you know, people like ourselves alongside of them in this journey, because it does help to expand the genre. It has broader implications even beyond, you know, what it might do for me personally or for Greg personally, or even the film. And just in terms of the Christian hip hop community, I love the fact that we're getting an opportunity to see, to kind of expand and grow outside of certain boxes, you know? So I do think it's very positive, just for the expansion of the genre, 1,000%.
Yeah, I know Derek Minor told me, he's like, Christian music does so well with sync licensings and placement, yeah, and everything.
1,000%.
Already positive.
Yeah.
It's uplifting. You can, you know, people can look at it and know that they're not going to have to censor anything.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to be offended. You just, yeah, the music's ready to go.
Pretty much. 1,000%.
Super dope thing.
Yeah. 1,000%.
All right. So let's talk about AI, Allen Iverson. How did he get involved in this film, and how much of a stamp of legitimacy did he put by just having his name there?
All right, so I'm gonna tell you, okay, we're gonna have some conversations. I think one of the things that I realized in this process is that there are a lot of times, a lot of we'll call celebrities, who are unaware of the cultural power they hold. Like, yeah, they're used to being treated as products, right? As just brands, mm-hmm, right? As just, you know, like, as just talent, right? And so one of the reasons why we approached Alan and his team is because, like, we realized that he could do a lot more, right? Like, it's Allen Iverson, right? And so we first started working with him early on. That was kind of the pitch. It was, hey, look, we're doing this film about what's going on in Philadelphia, and we want you to be involved, because when you think of Philadelphia, at least for us growing up, right, it was Allen Iverson, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so early on, he lent his name, and we had already had the project at the point, right? Like, we reached out to him and said, hey, look, we really want you to be involved in this. And he did, he lent his name to kind of get us in certain doors, right? And so we're grateful for that, right? But yeah, so Alan's also been navigating it as well, understanding his cultural power that he holds. Because like you said beforehand, if we're talking about artists as well, right? We're talking about influencers, right? Like, literally just him adding his name or saying something positive, it means so much to so many people. So Alan's been a good partner in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine, because you have a movie about Philly, having one of the greatest athletes ever from Philly. Yeah. And so that's automatically going to draw people from Philly to watch that. And even, you know, though it's a documentary about Gary who does stuff with basketball, it's like, oh, yeah, people never heard of that. So why should they care outside of Philly? But then you see Allen Iverson and you're like, oh, it's an NBA legend.
Right.
I'm going to check this out.
Yeah. Wait. I mean, it kind of like disarms people. In a way, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, especially when you're talking about a heavy topic, like, you know what I mean? Like gun violence in their city, right? Then yeah, it disarms people. So that's helpful in that way, 100%.
It makes it commercial, for sure.
Yeah.
Is there a thought or possibility of trying to have him like in the film in some way?
Yeah. I'll let you all watch it, but like, I'll say this much. Alan is now the vice president of Reebok, right? And so we are producing a film and making a film at the same time while he's navigating some things. So, but yeah, that was always a thought to kind of have him a part of that. But what he did do is he lent his talent. We have a voiceover from him in a trailer. You hear him in the trailer as well. I'm not sure if you heard it. But yeah, I mean, Alan gave us what he gave us. And so like, we're excited to kind of like move forward from that.
Okay, dope. Now what can you say about, I guess, the soundtrack in terms of like the sequencing and how you wanted to lay everything out and kind of tell the story of the project?
Yeah, so I mean, if you're talking about the film itself, I mean, you're asking how are we kind of breaking
well,
down?
Well, I'm talking about the actual soundtrack, like the, oh, the soundtrack.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's your question.
Just telling a story. Yeah, just wanted, you know, wanted songs that help to tell the story. Because you know the music just serves the film,
yeah.
You know, and so
can I say something real quick while you're
no,
saying
please.
That?
No,
one thing I love most is that in this soundtrack, what you'll hear is also some young artists from Philadelphia who are actually in the film, right? Like Dave King, Young Dave.
Yes.
And listen, you're gonna meet some phenomenal people in this film. First and foremost, you're gonna meet Dave, Winter Khalil, right? Gary Mills, right? But Gary Mills uses basketball as a vehicle to change and save lives, right? But what I love most about Dave's story here is that Dave is using music, right? I mean, like when you're thinking about what's going on in the city of Philadelphia, and you're talking about in 2021, 500 murders, and that's oftentimes underreported, right? Yeah. You're talking about these kids who are living in this environment, but also what influences their music, right? So we were talking earlier about murder music, right? It's this really complex situation because these kids are reflecting their reality, you know, in a way that most of us, even listen, us in the CHH world can't even fathom, right? Like there's a certain level of safety that we have, right? In some spaces where we can't talk. That's why I'm really slow to judge like the Meeks and others, right? Because unless you've had that lived experience, we can't really say too much. But anyways, I didn't mean to cut you off, Truth. But yeah, you'll meet some kids like Dave King in the film, who's phenomenal as well. And Truth did a phenomenal job kind of just telling the story. But go ahead, I cut you off, man. My bad.
No, that's all good. No, guys.
You said that was a question for him and you took it.
No, it's all good. But I want to add to that, you know, there are some unfamiliar faces on this record. Joey Allende, I mean, just there's so many like really super, super talented. We know Cannon, we know, you know, we kind of been around for a minute, but then there's some artists that we're not so familiar with on this project. And I just want to say the fact that they made this, there's a reason why they made the project. And again, what made it make sense for us was the fact that they used their music to tell the same story that is scripted for the film. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah.
And how much direction did you give on the tracks for the artists that are on there? Like, did you build the beat and then say, this is what we want to be about?
We pretty much crafted this project in the same way that we do all, you know, a lot of my records. When Greg and I work together, we kind of start from scratch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the artists, you know, they had music already. So we had a feel for, you know, what the energy should be like. Yeah. But ultimately we had to customize the project based on the tone and the tenor of the film itself. You know what I mean? That's what we wanted to capture. We wanted to make sure that it was cohesiveness across the board between film, film music, film soundtrack and score. And so, yeah, we kind of crafted all of the music on that basis, you know, with all that in mind.
All right, Mark, here's your chance to flex. You guys have won a couple of awards. You guys have done super well at premieres and different places that have shown the film. So tell the audience about the feedback, the response so far, and then, you know, are there more premieres? Are there more, you know, what's coming?
Yeah. So we've been in the film festival circuit since May of this year. We started off at ABFF, American Black Film Festival, which is, if you don't know it, it's the largest black film festival in the country, right? And I can honestly say might even be the world. And we were a selection there early on, right? And from there, we were part of the Harlem Hip Hop Festival. We won Best Documentary. We won Michelle Festival. We've been able to be featured in the Hollywood Reporter, all these Deadline as well.
Nice.
And so we had our premiere in Philly not too long, a few weeks back, and it's been great. The feedback has been meaningful. Again, when you watch this film, like you all see statistics, right? You see these numbers, right? You see the murder numbers in Philadelphia. But this film just really humanizes these stories in a way that's just incredible. And the feedback's been great. And Gary, again, like there was support that even Gary Mills, but Shoe Basketball is not people. So join sbmp.org if you want to take a look at it. I'll put it in chat. And he's starting to get financial support to kind of help save these kids. I mean, because he's literally using basketball as the vehicle to change and save lives. Like, and that's not even like a catchphrase, right? Like, you know, it sounds cool, right? But like literally what he's doing is he's using basketball as an entry point for so many other things. He's bringing these kids in who oftentimes live and are immersed in trauma. And he's really offering trauma-informed care, right? Through some colleagues and some therapists who do a great work, like Gabe's Torres, who's also credited in the film as well. But also interested in emotional intelligence. He's interested in agriculture, but it all starts on the basketball court, right? And so we're able to get him some support. And it's the response has been phenomenal. And we're also really, really excited about our partners over at Fox Soul, who I will tell you are incredible, who really rallied behind us and helped us get the story out there. And so, yeah, we have a few things that we're working on right now that we'll, of course, let Rapzilla know as well as we kind of go down the line. But yeah, it's been a great response. It's been a really good experience. It's been really good.
Hey, real quick, I just want to say people are asking where to watch it. Fox Soul is streaming a couple times a week. Is that accurate?
Yes, Fox Soul. You can go to foxsoul.tv. You can go to Instagram's at Fox Soul, and you can find the screening times. It will actually air again this weekend, a few times this weekend as well. But also, as of today, you can go on Fox Soul and watch it on demand as well. You can go to the website. And so, yes, you can also follow the at Bad Things Philly Film, which will also give you the screenings. And you also follow the phenomenal director, Kyra Knox. That's KYRAKNOX _. And you can kind of find out all the information about where to watch it there, too.
Doesn't Mark look like a movie guy?
Listen, it's been a long 2 years, man.
Like, he looks like a movie guy now.
No, it's a long project. So you're good.
Yeah, yes. Listen.
You fit the bill.
Hey, listen, I feel like I earned my scars a bit, right? So, but yeah, it's been a good journey. It's been good.
Is the film going to be like live premiering in any other places, screenings?
So we are actually working on a couple of actual screenings that are happening. We're going to do a screening here in Virginia, my hometown here. We'll do that in January. But on top of that, we are working on some other screens especially in the Philadelphia area as well. And we're also open to kind of taking this on the road as well and having panel discussions. That's something we're really interested in doing as well. Cause I think this film, when you're watching it, it sparks a lot of conversations, right?
Yeah.
And what I think you'll love most in that is what Kyra does and Kevin, who is a phenomenal editor, is that they're not leading you in one particular direction. This is not a political film. This is literally just talking about what's going on in Philadelphia, and right? And it sparks conversations, and we're ready to take that conversation out on the road as well. So yeah.
Hey, somebody just said nobody from Philadelphia is on the soundtrack.
Wow.
Sir, how do you feel? I happen to be from Philadelphia, sir. Born and raised on the playgrounds where I spent most of my days, okay?
You were b-ball outside of the school?
Yes, outside of the school, you know?
The disrespect, man. That's just
disrespect, bro. It's disrespectful, bro.
He's not got the thumb over the screen where you're, you know, where you at in the corner. So how can people support the film or the foundation with
yes
meals and anything outside of like just watching it? How can people
support? Yes, absolutely. Okay, being fully transparent, what you have in these organizations is lack of resources, right? And so if you want to support, join SBNP.org, right? And you can learn all about the organization, Mothers in Charge as well, right? And yes, absolutely. And also share it, share the film. If you love it, if it really like touches you, like share the film, share the teasers. They can absolutely support in a whole bunch of ways. And you can find on those Instagram pages I gave you.
Dope. Yeah, before we got the Philly disrespect, I actually... I would say, like, if you're a parent, watching this movie is super impactful to you. I have two young kids. Obviously, they're not out and about yet. You know, they're not even playing outside by themselves. But, you know, as a parent, when you see other parents going through heartbreak or losing a child or some sort of tragedy, I always joke to my friends. I was like, yo, since I became a dad, like, everything makes me cry or everything gets to me. So this movie is going to, like, touch you in that way. You're going to get the feels just as a parent. And I think it is important too, as a parent, to see what other parents are going through. So you know, hey, I can't let my child go down that path or be in those types of situations.
Yeah, Justin, that's a great way of wording it. I love what you said there. Once you became a parent, like it's like this sensitivity kicks in a thousand times over. Yeah. The switch flips, right? And that's what I'm saying. I think you'll find that watching this film is that it sparks a level of awareness for experiences that go beyond our own. You know what I mean? So no, that's the takeaway. We hope from everyone else is able to watch it and have that same experience.
All right, so one thing, I know you guys are focused on this project right now, but do you guys have sort of a vision beyond this now too, where it's like, we were able to do Bad Things Happen in Philadelphia now, what's the next thing we can do? What's the next topic we can cover? And are you going to tell me about it? Because truth, I saw you like nodding, like, I don't know.
This is 2.5-3 years, right? Yeah. So I think what's happening now is we're gonna rest for a little bit, right? But there are some things that that the collective are working on. I don't mind sharing this now. Kyra Knox, our director, she actually is a Sundance fellow. So she had this, yes. And so she's developing her first feature as well. But in regards to storytelling, right? We have a few stories that we're looking at as well. That we can't share right now, but of course, you know, when we're ready, Kyra, our director said we need to sleep. We've been working. You hear how brutal the film industry is. We're talking 12, 14 hour days for 2 years. You know what I mean? So we're going to rest for a little bit, but yeah, we have some things we're working on.
Yo, anytime I can get rest, I'm taking it. what about you, Emmanuel? Are you in the same boat?
Oh, just personally?
Yeah.
Oh no, I have a lot going on.
Yo, you have a little bit to go through.
I don't know about him, but
yeah, I'm actually my work was a year. Theirs was three. I've been heavy on the A&R side.
Yeah.
And it's growing, it's becoming a lot more comprehensive. I started off just doing hip hop projects and went from a couple hip hop projects to The Bad Things Happen in Philadelphia. And now I'm working on a gospel artist who goes by the name of Joshua Rogers, who's a Sunday's Best winner. And I'm in the process of A&R his project, just started that a couple weeks ago. So that's my world right now. I'm pretty much engulfed in Joshua Rogers land. So.
Wait a second. Are you forgetting the fact that, like, okay, we're gonna talk about it. So,
and I'm Grammy nominated.
Listen,
and I'm getting ready for the Grammys is in February, and I'm getting ready for that. Gearing up for that. Super excited about that, man. You know, I haven't had a nomination since I think 2009. So this is a really, really special one for me. So I'm working on. I'm getting my suit tailored this week.
Let's go.
I'm getting ready. And also I'm did some work with Candace Cameron. I don't know if you know her, Candace Cameron Burr. She was on The View. Yeah, yeah. So did some work with her. That comes out in February as well. So got a couple things coming down the pike that I'm excited about, bro.
Yeah. So I think last time we spoke, you told me that Grammy story, like that Grammy experience you had. Was that experience from 2009 or was that?
No, I went to the Grammys last year. I just went though. I just went like, hey guys, you know, I know it looked like I was nominated cause I was on the red carpet and everything last year, but, this last year I was just in attendance and this year I'm going as a nominee. So really cool.
That's
to God be the glory. To God be the glory, brother.
Yeah. So for everybody watching, go look on YouTube, the interview I did with Emmanuel. He talks about a really dope Grammy story. See, we get to plug, we get to go back.
Yeah, let's do it.
He talked about people being surprised that they knew who he was and actually being respected like as a man.
Yeah. In the mainstream space, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was wild.
So it's a dope.
I get annoyed when we talk about this, Justin.
Yes, yeah. I was great. So you should have said this in front of Mark.
Oh, Justin, listen. We're talking, you know what I want to do one day? I want to have this family tree of like influences that Emmanuel has had across genres, right? So it's so bizarre. Because Manny doesn't tell you guys half the stuff he's actually working on ever. Like I watch these interviews, yeah, right?
That's true.
He doesn't say, like he shares pieces of that. When one day, listen, I'm gonna hijack the interview and I'll air it all out. But my point is, this annoyance I have of him always being surprised, right? It's been a long going thing, man. He's super respected. I mean, there are so many people that call his phone asking for advice musically. It's just, nuts. And listen, he doesn't like talking about himself, so I'm gonna hype him up.
I just stay quiet, bro. I stay out the way.
At that advice, I might have to hit you up for a few things if you're just giving it out like that.
There is a fee. All right. You can cash at me. No, I'm joking, bro. Anytime, brother. Anytime.
All right, guys. So what else? Anything else to add? Anything else you think that we talk about?
No, I think we've covered everything, right?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, absolutely.
We're good. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man. Congratulations to you guys. Congratulations to Kyra. The project is great. Mark, one more time, plug it. Where can everyone watch it, stream it?
Yes, you can watch Bad Things Happen in Philadelphia on Fox Soul, and you can watch it on all your smart devices. It's available now to stream on demand. Please tap in, watch the movie. Also take a look at Shoot Basketball's Not People. Join sbnp.org to learn more about the organizations who are doing some phenomenal work in Philadelphia.
All right, yeah, you did that so much better than I would have, so back to you. All right, guys, thank you so much.
Much love.
Go,
peace.
Win that Grammy.
I gotta win it, bro. If you're a voting member, make sure you vote for your boy.
All right. You heard it.
All right. Bad things happen. See you guys later.
Peace.
All right, everyone, if you missed any of this interview, it's going to be right back on the Instagram page. I'm just going to upload it. It'll be on YouTube too. So remember, Bad Things Happen in Philadelphia. That was Emmanuel, formerly known as The Truth, and Mark Mims, Bad Things Happen in Philadelphia. I'm Justin Saracic, and I will see y'all later. Peace.